Welcome to Down the Ocular, a deep dive into diagnostic testing with your Roche Diagnostics Medical and Scientific Affairs colleagues. Listen to our dialogue on diagnostic tests, validation, and guidelines in the clinical setting. Here are your hosts, Drs. Barthi Venapusa and Tabari Baker. Welcome to Down the Ocular, episode number 3. In this episode, we'll focus on NTRK fusions. We'll talk about testing methodologies and recommendations, and then finally conclude by discussing the Ventana PanTrk assay. We have with us, as usual, our host, Dr. Barthi Venapusa. Good to see you again, Barthi.
Same here, Tabari. Thanks for having me.
Okay, well, let's talk about NTRK fusions. Can you let me know what NTRK fusions are and why they're important?
Sure, Tabari. NTRK stands for neurotrophic tyrosine receptor kinase, and there are actually three genes, NTRK 1, 2, and 3. These code for proteins TRK A, B, and C. TRK wild-type proteins are usually normally expressed in neural tissues, and they're involved in normal cell processes like growth and proliferation. These are like any other tyrosine kinase receptors, and they bind to a ligand, and when they bind to the ligand, it initiates a signaling pathway like any other tyrosine kinase receptors. Talking about fusions, these NTRK genes can break and they can translocate when fused with other genes. These are called partner genes. When the NTRK genes fuse with other genes, these are called NTRK fusions. NTRK fusions can result in TRK fusion protein expression. One of the important points to know is when NTRK fusions happen, the part of the gene that can bind to the ligand gets eliminated, making the fusion protein constitutively active. That means it's constantly active without having to bind to a ligand. This results in tumor formation and oncogenesis. The reason NTRK fusions are important is because there are several targeted therapies that are approved against tumors with NTRK fusions in the recent past, which makes it very important to identify patients with NTRK fusions.
Thank you, Barthi. You mentioned during your answer there a word that some may not be familiar with, constitutively active. You discussed how the gene is broken, which then makes a constitutively active protein, which begs the question, what do the normal tyrosine kinases do?
Very good question, Tabari. In a normal situation, these tyrosine kinase receptors are usually involved in normal cellular processes like growth and proliferation. In a normal situation, they have to bind to a ligand for them to activate the processes inside the cell. In terms of fusion with NTRK genes or any other tyrosine receptor kinase fusion, when it happens, part of the gene that binds to the ligand gets eliminated. And the gene that got separated joins with another gene where it has a promoter. The promoter is a region in the gene that activates downstream transcription of the gene. In NTRK fusions, because the ligand binding domain gets eliminated and it goes and binds to another gene called partner gene, which has a different promoter, it is constantly transcribing that protein, which results in that protein being expressed. And when the fusion TRK protein gets expressed, there is no need to bind to ligand, and it constantly is active because of the changes that happened in the genetic structure. Hope that answers your question.
Yes, that makes sense. So I'd like to provide an analogy, if that's okay. And please check my analogy here if it's right or wrong. These NTRK fusions are like a gas pedal being stuck. They cause the cell to continue to proliferate uncontrolled. When they're normal, that gas pedal can be regulated by that ligand binding. Is that right?
That's correct. And in normal, for a gas pedal, you need the foot to press. You can imagine the foot as the ligand.
Okay, perfect. And what happens here is that there is no foot. There's just a stick pushing the gas continuously, no matter what's going on the road. Okay.
Exactly right.
Perfect. Thank you. So thank you for that background. I see that there's a lot of interest in the recent past on NTRK fusions. Can you let me know how prevalent these fusions are? Do these happen commonly? in cancers? And if so, are there particular cancers where they happen relatively commonly?
It's a very good question, Tabari, and it brings up an important fact that NTRK gene fusions are common in rare tumors and rare in common tumors. This is an important thing for everybody to remember. To date, NTRK fusions have been identified in at least 25 different types of cancers, which include head and neck cancer, breast cancer, GI sarcomas, and CNS cancers, etc. In most solid tumors, the prevalence is less than 5%. But there are some rare tumor types where NTRK gene fusions can happen at a higher frequency. Examples for those are mammary analog secretory carcinoma of salivary gland, secretory carcinoma of the breast, infantile fibrosarcoma, and in cellular congenital mesoblastic nephroma. In this particular rare tumor types, NTRK fusions can be present in 8 to 100% of the tumors.
Oh, wow. So common in rare tumors and rare in common tumors. I think that's a catchphrase for NTRK gene fusion. So since they're rare and common tumors and common in rare tumors, how do you test for them? Are there advantages or disadvantages to each of those test types?
There are several testing methods, including next-generation sequencing, immunohistochemistry, RT-PCR, and FISH that are out there for testing for NTRK gene fusions. When we look into each of these testing methodologies and see what advantages and disadvantages, to summarize, NGS assays can be DNA or RNA-based, and they do provide the most comprehensive view of several genetic targets, not just NTRK. NGS can detect all three NTRK genes. DNA-based NGS has a tendency to under-detect fusions, especially when the breaks happen in large introns for NTRK2 and NTRK3 genes. Whereas RNA-based NGS assays use the complementary DNA that's derived from RNA, it's using the fusion transcript itself, so it doesn't have the issues of missing fusions if the breaks happen in the large introns. Not having readily available in all the labs and having longer turnaround time and the cost associated with getting an NGS testing, those are the limiting factors for NGS. For FISH, you should know the target sequence because you use probes for doing the FISH. One can detect NTRK fusions using what are called break-apart probes, and you can use them for all three genes. The limitation is that you can't know what the fusion partner is. And also, it requires three slides for each break-apart. And there are some technical challenges in some instances. Because of these reasons, FISH may under-detect the fusions. The RT-PCR, it requires sequences of both the NTRK genes as well as the fusion partners. There are up to 40 fusions so far identified and many more being detected. So designing a multiplex RT-PCR with all the fusions can be really challenging. At the same time, if it is a tumor known to have only a certain type of fusion, it's easier to implement an RT-PCR assay as a confirmatory test. That leaves us with IHC, which is a bread and butter in many pathology labs, and this is the only assay that detects protein expression. Rest of all the assays look at the genes. And the PanTrek IHC assay detects all TRK proteins, A, B, and C, but both wild type and fusion proteins. One of the advantages is it's readily available, has low cost, and requires only one slide to assess the protein expression, with the caveat that it detects both TRK wild type and fusion proteins.
Thank you. That was a very thorough answer. Let me try to ask a couple of questions in between there. First, why don't we start with NGS? You stated that there were two types of NGS, DNA-based and RNA-based.
Correct.
So it sounds like the limitation of DNA-based next-generation sequencing in detecting this fusion is that not all fusions will be detected. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. RNA-based, which requires a step where you generate complementary DNA, allows you to detect more fusions, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So not all NGS is the same. That is a big deal. does everyone always know what type of NGS test they're getting when they're either doing it in-house or sending it out?
That brings up a very good point about the education for physicians and pathologists who are ordering NGS tests, that they should know what kind of test that they are ordering and the methodology used and limitations of the methodology. One of the important points about RNA-based assays is RNA is labile. So you have to keep in mind about the utilization of the assay when you're sending tissue samples for RNA-based assays.
Got you. So it sounds like there's a possibility of a false negative in assessing NTRK fusions or in assessing fusions generally. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. That makes sense. Okay. So that's NGS. Let's move over to fish. So you mentioned that in fish assays or any ish assay, particularly with break apart probes, that the challenge is that you don't necessarily know which fusion is going to be in the tumor type that you're testing. So
yes.
Are there currently break apart probes for NTRK on the market? And are they specifically designed to catch the majority of the fusions, or how does the marketplace look?
As far as I know, there is no FDA-approved break-apart probes available. In fact, there is no FDA-approved assay for detecting NTRK fusions, period. So the break-apart probes are available from different vendors. If they detect majority of the break-aparts or not is a question that still remains because of lack of validation studies that could get submitted to FDA and get approved for.
Yeah, that makes sense. So that means that break apart probes for fish that are currently on the market are likely either RUO or are an LDT that have been developed at a particular lab.
You're correct, Tabari.
Got it. So each of the probes in a fish are specific for one fusion. If there are possibly 40 different fusion partners for NTRK, does that mean I would need 40 different probes to be run on one particular sample in order to be thorough in making sure that I identify whether there's an NTRK fusion using fish?
40 different probe sets, yes, that's correct. And then in addition, you would need 40 slides from each tissue sample if you want to investigate thoroughly.
Okay.
That's one of the reasons why people opt for break-apart probes, because they don't have to depend on the fusion partner gene probe, and you can just use the NTRK gene probe itself and use 3 slides.
Okay.
Instead of having to use 40 slides.
Got it. That makes sense. Okay. So we've handled NGS. We've now handled fish. Next is RT-PCR. RT-PCR, from what I remember, is very similar to fish in that you need to know kind of two sides, both sides of the gene, in order to effectively identify whether that fusion is existing. You mentioned that you can multiplex these RT-PCRs. With 40 gene partners, is it possible to do a 40x multiplex?
40 gene multiplex would be challenging, but depending on tumor type, you may have 2 to 3 known fusions that can happen. So, for example, sarcomas, certain type of sarcomas are known to harbor only 1 or 2 fusion types. In those situations, if the diagnosis is known and the fusion is known, doing an RT-PCR for known fusions is easier step.
Okay, so that makes sense. So that leaves us back to IHC. The IHC that we were talking about is the Ventana PanTrack IHC test. That test particularly, it's a companion diagnostic, correct?
It is not a companion diagnostic. It is a class 1 IVD, hence it's not a predictive biomarker.
Barthi, it's not a companion, but are there therapies that are targeted towards NTRK fusions?
Yes, Tabari. In the past 2 years, there were 2 drugs that were approved for patients whose tumors show NTRK gene fusions. That is entrectinib and larotrectinib that were approved. And these two are one of the first of what we call tumor-agnostic or tissue-agnostic treatments, where several tumors that harbor NTRK fusions can get this treatment. whereas traditionally FDA approval has been indication specific and the biomarker specific. So this is a breakthrough in FDA approvals.
Thank you. Since there are several tests available, so we know that there is an NGS test available for identifying NTRK fusions. We know that there are possibly FISH probes. There's also PCR tests that can be developed, and then this IHC. And none of these are companion diagnostics. What would be the advantage of using an IHC versus all of those other testing modalities?
That's a good question, Tabari. An IHC assay is readily available in any lab, not specifically speaking about Ventana Pantrac assay, but IHC in general. And it requires only one slide to do the testing for the biomarker, and the turnaround time is very quick. Mm-hmm. And bringing in an assay is relatively easier compared to NGS or other assays that we just discussed. Specifically for the Pantrac assay, and speaking about Ventana Pantrac assay, this assay detects protein expression with the caveat that you cannot differentiate wild type and fusion TRK protein expression.
Thank you. Now, you mentioned that the Ventana Pantrac IHC assay detects both wild type, which means non-fused TRK protein, as well as fused TRK protein. Is the wild type protein commonly found in lots of tumors?
Very good point. The wild type expression for TRK is relatively rare, and I would say fortunately relatively rare. And as we discussed at the beginning, TRK wild type is expressed in neural tissues, and it's helpful for the cell growth and proliferation. So it's not surprising that the tumors of neural or neuroendocrine origins will have higher proportion of wild-type TRK protein expression compared to other solid tumors. There are some sarcomas that can express wild-type protein expression at a higher percentage than other solid tumors. But in general, majority of the solid tumors that occur at a higher frequency in the population, they don't express wild-type protein.
Okay, so that means, if I'm understanding this correctly, when you see IHC staining in a tumor with the Pantrac assay, then you can be pretty confident that that expression is due to a gene fusion versus that wild type expression. Is that right? Except for the few cases you talked about, neuroendocrine tumors or CNS derived tumors.
The assumption is correct. Yes. In majority of the solid tumors, if you see expression with Pantrac assay using Ventana Pantrac assay, the possibility of that expression being fusion protein expression is high compared to that being a wild type protein expression. But I do want to mention the caveat that because of the fact that Ventana Pantrac assay can detect both wild type and fusion protein expression, and even though the wild-type TRK protein expression is rare in the common solid tumors, because of potential caveat that Ventana Pantrac assay can detect wild-type TRK protein, it's always a requirement for any expression to be tested with the confirmatory testing using orthogonal methods, could be NGS, RT-PCR, or FISH.
Thank you, Bharathi. So from a workflow perspective, just to make sure I have it, you test with Pantrac IHC. If that patient was Pantrac IHC positive, the lab would then confirm that fusion presence using some other method, which could be FISH or could be NGS or could be RT-PCR. Do I have that right?
That's correct. I do want to clarify one point. Ventana Pantrac assay is a class 1 IVD, so there is no interpretation guide. And the package insert does not define what a positive or negative expression is. Because it's a class 1 IVD, you use it as like any other diagnostic markers in clinical practice that are used as an aid for diagnosis. Whenever you see expression, you provide that information to the clinician. There are some publications that list using 1% as a cutoff to differentiate expression versus no expression, but there is no evidence of if 1% is appropriate cutoff to differentiate the expression versus no expression.
Thank you, Barthi. We've gotten into a little bit of detail on the results and reading out the results of the test. And I think we've gotten a little bit ahead of ourselves and not talked about how the lab would bring it in and some of those details. The first thing that any lab that I would go in would want to know is, this is a rare biomarker, what controls do I use?
So per the package insert, Tabari, the recommended controls are appendix and cerebellum. And in these two tissues, because TREC wild proteins are expressed in neural elements, you see expression of wild-type protein in these. And there is also negative or non-staining elements. So either of those tissues can function as both positive and negative tissue controls. And remember, when you are bringing in the assay, because Ventana-Pantrac assay is not optimized to differentiate between wild-type TREC and fusion TREC protein expression, you could use wild-type protein expression as a tissue control.
So thank you, Barthi. You mentioned that the NTRK fusions are rare in common tumors and common in rare tumors, which means that in general, this is a very rare biomarker. How do labs validate the Ventana-Pantrac assay, given that these fusions are rare?
Tabari, labs should follow their SOPs and CAP guidelines in verifying any assay. The Ventana-Pantrac assay is a class one, and it is not a predictive biomarker. So if the lab is using it according to the label for identifying expression of Pantrac versus no expression, then they can follow the CAP guidelines for non-predictive biomarker. And also, I touched on it when we discussed about controls before. Since the assay is not optimized to differentiate between wild type and fusion TREC proteins, one can use a mix of samples, both wild type expression as well as tissues that have been confirmed to have fusions. And they can use neural and neuroendocrine tumors for wild type protein expression since they have higher wild type protein expression. And for fusion protein expression, they can look in the repository to find cases that have had NTRK fusion testing and were positive. Since the NTRK fusions are rare, a particular lab may not have a repository of tissues or tumors showing NTRK fusions. They can do rolling validation where they can include the cases prospectively into the validation set rather than trying to compile everything and doing it in one sitting. At the end of the day, as I mentioned, labs should follow their SOPs and CAP guidelines at the medical director's discretion.
Thank you, Barthi. I want to go back to talking about the different testing methods. Apparently, that's a sticking point for me. And I want to ask you if there are any guidelines on how a lab should proceed, given that there are various testing methods available.
Very good point, Tabari. Unfortunately, there are no guidelines that are published which can dictate a lab or direct a lab as to what testing they should use. But there are several published recommendations which describe different testing algorithms, all of them taking into consideration the prevalence of NTRK fusions and the histology of the tumor that's being examined. And these recommendations do propose Pantrac IHC testing as a stratification marker before a patient can get a confirmatory genetic testing using NGS or FISH or RT-PCR. That does bring up a challenge because there are several recommendations which one the lab should bring in or want to use. My recommendation in the situation is the pathologist should discuss with the multidisciplinary team in trying to find what would be a best recommendation out of those published recommendations and use it case-by-case basis.
Yes, thank you. That makes sense. Last question. So if you were back in practice and you were considering using the Pantrac IHC as a stratifying IHC marker, as you mentioned earlier, is that the appropriate way to use the Pantrac IHC for all solid tumors?
Very good question, Tabari. We discussed and we touched on several important points. One, the Pantrac IHC using Ventana Pantrac assay cannot differentiate wild type and fusion protein expression. Second point is the wild type protein expression is rare in common tumors. And third point, enteric fusions are rare in common tumors and common in rare tumors. Taking all these three into considerations, when you look at the published recommendations, Ventana Pantrac assay does have a role to play as a first step in common solid tumor testing to stratify patients who can get enteric gene fusion testing or not. To summarize what I just mentioned, Ventana Pantrac assay can be used as a stratification biomarker to differentiate expression versus no expression for TRK proteins in common solid tumors so that any patient's tissue showing expression can be referred to confirmatory genetic testing.
Thank you for joining us on Down the Ocular. We look forward to providing you with more insights on our next episode. If you have any questions, please reach out to your regional tissue diagnostics, medical, and scientific affairs colleague. See you next time.